Well, the PASCO school teacher strike may be headed towards a conclusion, but more than 50,000 students are facing another day of canceled classes here as Seattle teachers continue to strike. I'm Ross Reynolds. This is The Record. KUOW's Josh McNichols was at the Miller Community Center on Capitol Hill today. That's where kids are hanging out while the teacher strike continues.
So in this station, they're coloring and they're doing drawings. And then over here, they're beading and making bracelets. So usually in the summertime, we have summer day camp, and we host about 40 students. So we are expanding to 150.
You know, I'm kind of in a hurry that it starts school because, you know, this summer is getting really long.
Well, as long as the, you know, community center keeps kicking it with good play camps, it'll be all right for a while. Hopefully it'll be over
soon. But it looks like everything's going really well. Everything's organized today, and the kids look like they're having a good time.
Lori Van Norman, recreation coordinator at Miller Community Center on Seattle's Capitol Hill. You also heard from parents Vikram Prakash and Katia Faraj. The strike that is continuing began last week, and it's the first time that in 30 years teachers have staged a walkout over contract negotiations. C.R. Douglas is a political analyst for Q13 News. He told David Hyde that an ever less affordable Seattle has created the stage for this kind of action.
You saw that issue in the 15 now minimum wage movement. Obviously, teachers are up on the income level, but I think the same frustration is there and has boiled, which is that Seattle isn't what it used to be. I mean, if you're at the low end, it's harder to rent. If you're at the middle end, like teachers, it's harder to buy. And that's a real frustration.
And it's partly about economics. It's partly about salaries. But there are other issues in this strike. What surprises you about some of the demands that teachers are making?
Well, it is the longest and most comprehensive list of demands we've ever seen. I mean, this is a new day for the Seattle Education Association in terms of what they're asking for. So I did get surprised that it wasn't just pay, but that you do have things like recess. They're making another run at kind of teacher evaluation methods, student testing, all the rest. That they want so many things is very unusual.
Why do you think politically they're going that route?
I think a couple things. One is that times have changed. It's not just that affordability crunch, but you also have, you know, years of state underpaying teachers. So that's kind of boiled. You have, for the first time, a kind of contract negotiation since the Great Recession. So it was going to be hard, you know, really since 2008, to have a pretty long list of demands and an aggressive salary request. I mean, you really couldn't have done that up until now. The district was poor, the state was poor, all the rest. And I think finally what's emboldening the union was that protest they had here at Seattle over the student testing, that boycott back in the spring.
Yeah.
That gained energy, and I think that gave the union a sense that, wow, we had power against this district we didn't think we had.
Meaning parent power.
Parent power and teacher power and student power. They won the district on that testing boycott.
We're told these kinds of strikes in major U.S. cities are pretty infrequent. Are there any models for this strike that you can see?
There are, and it's Chicago of 2012. And many districts around the country have kind of looked at that as inspiration. It's considered kind of the gold standard in the recent labor negotiations for educators, where they asked for a lot and they got a lot after a strike. And what Chicago did and Seattle is modeling is that it wasn't just about union leadership. It was about aggressively including the rank and file of educators and broadening it out to parents, to the community. I mean, having that wide coalition is now the new way to do things. So if you look at this list, it's not just pay, as I said. I mean, when you look at recess and the demand for larger recesses, well, that's very popular with parents. When you look at rolling back student testing, that's popular with parents and the community group. When you talk about dealing with some of the racial inequities and disparities, which is part of this negotiating demand, that's popular with the community. So the Seattle Education Association, the union, has taken their cues from Chicago. They broaden this out. When you have just pay, you get some community support. When you add more things to the list, you get a lot more community support.
By linking teachers' interests to students' interests and parents' interests.
Absolutely.
How successful, then, do you think Seattle teachers have been so far?
I think, quite successful. I mean, I think they're winning this so far. Listen, they're already getting more than they would have had they not engaged in this strike. And they're getting a lot of parent and community support. I mean, there are a lot of red shirts in the picket lines that aren't teachers.
There's been no opinion polls about this, but certainly the stuff we're hearing on our Facebook page from listener comments, at least anecdotally, pretty supportive of teachers.
Yes. And listen, some parents are frustrated and making daycare arrangements have been tough. But when you say who's winning politically, I mean, the way you kind of look at that is, you know, what are you getting and what's it costing you? And so far, the teachers are getting more than they would have. And it's not costing them politically. They still have the community behind them. And those who aren't necessarily behind them are staying silent. I mean, who's rallying for the district right now?
Yeah, well, so on the flip side, what does it say about the power of the district?
Well, I think it's less. I think you have this situation where the sense is the district has more money than they used to, where the union is more organized than they've ever been. Now, they can't take this forever. I mean, you will start losing support if this strike goes into, you know, 2 weeks and 3 weeks. But so far, the sentiment is that teachers deserve more and that some of the things they're demanding are really going to help parents and help students. That's kind of, they're winning that branding argument so far.
Some people are broadening this out and bringing up the state because the Washington Supreme Court has started fining lawmakers, or fining taxpayers actually, over the McCleary decision for inadequately, they say, funding public education. What's the connection between this strike and the state and the Supreme Court, if anything?
I think there is a connection. I mean, the ruling basically said that you've been underfunding schools, state lawmakers, especially teacher salaries. So what you've had in the last several years is that educators have had to go to the districts locally to kind of bargain for higher salaries to make up for what the state was not providing. So if you had lawmakers adequately providing for salaries, then you would have had less high stakes negotiations over pay at the local level. It's not that you wouldn't have some, but it would be less, and you maybe would have avoided a lot of strikes. I mean, a lot of the big thing here is pay, and they're trying to make up in Seattle for what the state hasn't provided.
C.R. Douglas, political analyst for Q13 Fox News. He spoke with David Hyde. Teachers went back to the bargaining table this weekend, but no deal has been reached with the district. No one knows how long this teacher strike will last.